Naturecast. Hello, and welcome to the Social Psychic Radio Show, featuring Jason Zook. In uncertain times, we must change our focus and priorities. This show will highlight social justice issues with the goal of expanding minds and increasing unity, love, and mutual respect for ourselves and our planet. We support the Black Lives Matter movement. Our show aspires to promote social spirituality, which simply means that by coming together, we can solve any of our problems, including the goal of bringing an end to all forms of hate, discrimination, bias, or oppression. We must protect our environment, reform our criminal justice system, and protect every citizen from police brutality. When we come together, it becomes possible to bridge the gaps that plague our society and divide us from within. We the people means everyone.
Hello and welcome to the Social Psychic Radio Show. This is Jason Zook. It's with great pleasure I have returning guest Dr. Sergey Borisov to the show, and we have a very special guest today. Sergey, welcome to the show.
Oh, hey, guys.
Great to have you here, sir. I'm very excited about having our guest on today, Ilona. And I just think her passion is going to really read to our audience. And it's just so important what we're doing. But let's go into this bio introduction, and then we can get into the interview. So I want to ask you, Ilona's last name, say it correctly for the audience, because I don't want to butcher it, because I want to make sure it's said.
Krasavtseva.
Krasavtseva. Thank you, Ilona. You're on as well.
Great job.
Thank you. Our guest is a singer-songwriter, events producer, and Russian activist supporting Ukraine in its war against Russian aggression. She was born in Russia. Her parents relocated to Kyiv, and Ilona grew up in Ukraine and attended Shevchenko State University in Kyiv. Our guest graduated from Moscow State University with a degree in general arts, and she attended California State University, Moscow campus, with a master's degree in management. Music has been our guest's passion her entire life. Her passion for music started as a hobby and evolved into a full-time career in 2008. Between 2012 and 2018, Ilona won 4 awards in international music contests, and she participated in a number of music festivals as an author and as a performer. Ilona moved to the United States in 2014, and since 2015, she has produced a concert series under the auspices of the Music Club of Florida, featuring musicians from different countries and various genres. On February 26, 2022, 2 days after Russia's invasion into Ukraine, our guest organized Tampa Bay's first public rally in support of Ukraine and its war against Russia. Since that time, she's organized and participated in a countless number of charitable events that promote Ukrainian culture and support its efforts in its fight for freedom from Russia. In February 2024, Ilona launched her new show, A Tribute to Sarah Brightman, which was featured in several magazines, on TV, and in radio interviews in Florida. It's with great pleasure that I welcome Ilona to the show. Welcome to the show, Ilona.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to talk about the very important issue of support to Ukraine.
And Sergey, welcome as well. I love having this conversation with the both of you. I'm enjoying what we're doing here.
Hi, Ilona. Hi, Jason. Glad to be here.
Ilona, I want to ask you, you have a very unique background. So you're Russian, correct?
I do have some Ukrainian ancestry, but most of my ancestry is Russian, yes.
Mm-hmm. You have both in your family tree.
Yeah, both in my family, yes.
And and from that perspective,
all are Jewish, anything.
Okay. You're blended. I have different backgrounds as well. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you this because you've lived in Russia, you've lived in Ukraine, you've lived here in the United States for quite some time. You've been in all these places, and the scene of this tragedy going on right now, as of today's date, May 2nd, 2024. What has been your impression of Russia's invasion into Ukraine, personally for you, and how has it evolved in the last 2 years?
From the beginning of the invasion, I knew the fact that regardless of what most of the Ukrainian population thinks about this, they think that they're fighting with Russians. But in fact, Russians were already invaded by the gangsters, by the gang. And now this gang is trying to invade Ukraine. They have already invaded Belarus, and they have already invaded Georgia in Caucasus. And they are trying to invade Ukraine. Ukraine is a very powerful nation. They are fighting back. They're trying to keep their independence. And they actually showed to the world of what's going on. Because before Ukraine started fighting, this gang was destroying their country, Russia. Lots of people are in prisons, dying. They catch people who start talking against what they're doing. They catch people, put them to prison, and people just don't survive in those prisons.
They're like the gulags from back historically in Tsarist Russia from over 100 years ago.
Think that Russians are fighting with them. No, gangsters are fighting with them, with Russians, and with Belarus, and with other republics. And I think it's very important to understand and to help not only Ukraine, but all those other countries to stop this gang. No, if you, Ukraine will win for sure. I'm sure Ukraine should win. But this war may not stop. They may start another war like they did in Chechen Republic. They had three wars in Chechnya.
I just want to clarify one thing with you. When you say the gang, are you referring to Vladimir Putin and his cadre of oligarchs that control Russia right now?
No oligarchs left to control. It's only the KGB clan and Vladimir Putin. All the oligarchs, the seven banks, oligarchs, whatever, they are no longer ruling the thing. Maybe one or two of those guys are still financing, but they... I'm talking about this Soviet or whatever of security council, something like that. Security.
Oh, it's more like FBI, CIA service for Soviet Union.
Oh, okay.
Talking about the Russian Council of Security, the people who represent police, army, KGB, those guys.
Censorship.
The council of those guys who actually voted the war on February 23rd of 2022. Putin actually collected them and he gave his speech and they voted for the war, those people. So I think they are the gangsters who need to be arrested. And I think the United Nations is supposed to protect us from those type of creations, because this gang, they have the nuclear button and they're very dangerous. And United Nations is not protecting us against that.
When you refer to them as a gang, like here in the United States, we don't even think of it that way. We should probably, it's what you're saying, because the cronies, all the apparatus and everything that's in place.
Yeah. They are, because they kill people. They kill civilians in Ukraine.
Alexei Navalny, most recent example of that.
They kill military in Ukraine. They used to kill military in Moldova. They used to, and civilians as well, in Georgia. And they kill hundreds of thousands of people in Russia, in prisons. People don't survive their conditions in prisons. It is a gulag. You were very right. And besides those conditions, they are sadists. They use sadistic methods to oppress the people who are against their power. And so many people died already. And so many people left Russia. The statistics says more than 10 million people had left Russia since Putin was actually put as a president. So it's really dangerous thing. And they control the nuke. Even in America, we think that it's somewhere far away, but it in actual fact, they control the nuke. My thinking of this is that we are not protected by the international bureaucracy, international institutions like United Nations. We are taxpayers. We pay our tax dollars to support those kind of organizations, and they're useless. They're not doing anything to help us and stop fearing this.
You know what's frustrating with the international system? I studied a lot extensively in college. I was a poli sci major, and the UN system, it's created from the victors of World War II. So Russia is on the Security Council. They can veto anything that has substantive power to it. So it makes it frustrating within that system that when you have the main person like Russia acting the way they are as a country, they shouldn't even be on the Security Council anymore.
Yeah, but I want to add to this. I want to agree with both of you and emphasize it further. It just actually emphasizes it does not work. United Nations is an old institution and it needs to be replaced. There is a strong need to, if they cannot reassemble themselves because they don't have, you know, power to do so, they need to self-disassemble and reassemble something else, because their presence is killing the world. Their presence allows Russia to kill my people in Ukraine. And to build on this bureaucracy and see how, I just do want to emphasize once again what Ilona is saying. It's an externally dangerous regime. It's a regime that's not going to stop in front of anything. And Ukrainians are throwing their bodies to stop it. And then my congressman in United States dares to write me a letter saying that the leaking borders with Mexico are much more dangerous than Putin's regime. And I'm replying to him, you are simply wrong. These two issues, which not even scalable, not even comparable, you cannot put them on the same ladder. It's they completely, one you need to a microscope to look at, and the other one is just covering the whole world. So I'm just appalled what kind of politicians are deciding our fate. There is really this war emphasizing, guys, we need to raise new type of people to govern our systems. The job of politicians was to prevent the war. That was their job, and they're not doing it.
I'll add one point to everything you just said just before we flip in. The UN thing, for me, have you ever heard of the League of Nations? Not really.
Actually, I did. I heard about League of Nations, and I think it's another useless international bureaucracy.
And what I would say, it at least is my personal opinion that I'll share from studying this stuff. I think the UN is at least an attempt at an international system that could have potency to it. And when you don't have the politics of the international system disrupting it, hence Russia or China, then it could have value. But unfortunately, Ukraine, the UN has not had the muscle that it needs to do what they need to do. And I think the EU should step up more, other NGOs, the US government. And in terms of our representatives, you're probably citing someone from the MAGA party, which is the Republican party. I bet you the congressman who wrote you that is Republican from Florida.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, because Democrats.
And then you go to his website and his Biden is so bad. They treat us as if we don't have brains, honestly. Well,
truth versus mistruth. You can't argue with people that don't tell the truth. And you can't argue with people who don't understand the difference between fake news and reality. So it's. At that point, what do? You just have to say that this person's far gone. And you got to work on the people who can be persuaded. And I think that's why we're doing this conversation right now. We want to share with people how passionate I'm just so pleased to have us talk like this. Because for me, I watch these shows on TV or I'll look at the internet and I'll get so upset. And I want to do what I can from my perspective. And that's why I feel like it's important we're having these topics. Alona, I want to ask you this. When you think about how this war is going to end, what do you think is going to happen based on what your feelings?
I already mentioned that I'm sure Ukraine will win, but if Putin is not arrested and his gang is not arrested, then it's going to start again. That's what I'm saying. So I believe that the only way to stop this tension in the Slavic region is to just arrest the whole gang.
The question becomes, how do you do that from the international community's perspective if Mr. Putin has a finger on the button over there or whatever it is?
Yeah, I think first step would be to fire the current leaders of the United Nations because they are not doing their job. And actually call for new leadership, the people who would have a plan to do that.
You know? The one thing I would say to that, the practical aspects of that, it would take longer for that than it would take the end of Ukraine war. You have to create an international system where all the countries agree.
In about prevention of the second war, in Moldova, in Belarus, in Russia, against their own people. Sure. I'm talking about this. Ukrainian war may actually end faster than that. But first would be that. Second, probably creating a new institution that will work better. There is an enforcement institution, NATO.
Yeah, for justice. Yeah.
NATO is an enforcement institution. But I think we're missing is a think tank and the leadership to take actions against that. Because you can't rely on Russian people. Nobody is left to protest in Russia. No one. Almost in any country, in a country with like a democratic system, 80% of the population usually don't talk politics whatsoever, right? Only 20% of the population talk about politics. Imagine Russia, where politics is a forbidden topic to discuss. If you talk politics, you're taken to prison immediately. Immediately. And you don't survive that prison.
I've seen accounts of that stuff. Sergey, did you want to say something?
So, Ilona, so from outside perspective, and from my own kind of opinion, I think Russia has the best propaganda machine. Like, their propaganda is so invasive to human mind, and it's like everywhere, and really plays so well on Russian emotions or something. Do you have your own perspective, probably better than both of us here, right? How do you think people persuade that propaganda? Because I know in Soviet Union, people listened to propaganda, but they did not believe it. There was very strong double standard. Like, one thing you listen from TV, but you don't believe it. You know everything is much worse, and then you just go home. But it feels like from outside that Russians do really embrace that Putin and the strength and the power and the war. Like, they feel empowered by that propaganda. What do you think?
I think it's just the same as in Soviet Union. Half of the population is actually buying this brainwashing stuff. Half of the population don't believe it. And the other half that doesn't believe, they just don't have, they're not brave enough to say that they don't believe it.
They see it as a double standard and they just go with our lives.
They literally don't believe it, but they just don't say a word. They keep silence. They are being silent. They never.
What happened to you? How did you yourself figure out that it's propaganda?
Me?
What was for you? Because you was in Russia, but at some point you was like, oh man, that's a bullshit. I'm moving out or something. What was it? Do you know?
It was clear. It was pretty obvious to me because, first of all, I was raised in Ukraine and I attended all those celebrations on Maidan in Kyiv. I was visiting my mom. She was still in Ukraine while I was in Moscow. And it was pretty obvious. I was actually supporting Maidan because...
Hold on, that's fascinating. So which Maidan? Is it Orange Revolution you're talking about?
Orange Revolution, yes.
Can you tell us about it? So, like, your personal experience about it?
I did not actually appear on Maidan to protest, but I did visit Maidan for the other happenings in Kyiv before that and after that. Orange Revolution took place when I was still in Moscow. And I was supporting with my whole heart. I was actually before me for American congressman who came to visit one of the opposition leaders in Russia. And he invited me as a singer to perform for an event that he was having at his house. And I can't remember the names of those congressmen who were there, but I was performing Ukrainian music in Moscow. I was performing Ukrainian songs. I think it was obvious for people who supported democratic values that Ukraine was doing the right thing, that they are against the pro-Putin regime. It was clear to most of the people that Putin was a danger for Russia. It was actually very clear. And it was a time to leave. So I left. I just decided not to be a part of it. It was crazy. It was really dangerous.
I can imagine just how incredible an experience that was, even though it was scary, and just being part of that history.
Oh, yeah. And we saw how they treated people who were opposing that. We saw that they killed Boris Nemtsov. I personally knew Boris Nemtsov. I was at his conference in Nizhny Novgorod when I was younger. He invited different clusters of entrepreneurs, and I was always an entrepreneur. So I was invited to one of his conferences, and we personally met, and we were all fascinated by him. He was killed in front of the Kremlin.
Was he shot?
He was shot.
Yeah,
yes.
I recall. That's terrible.
Mm-hmm. And he was a real opposition leader. He was actually, he had very good chances of becoming a leader. And as a voter, as an ex-voter in Russia, I knew exactly what they did. They added other people to our voting ballots. For example, they would have lists of voters by apartment. And in my apartment, I had two or three extra people who did not live with me. I had my own apartment, and I lived there with my ex-husband and with my son. But two extra persons were actually listed for my apartment to vote.
Voter fraud?
It is a fraud.
They're not living there, and they're saying they live there.
It was definitely a fraud. And later, they stopped doing that, and they just, it was obvious that for them, it was not important how people would vote. It was important how they would calculate the vote.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this, because you have so much perspective from different vantage points. I know your passion has been activism, and we were talking about this before the interview, and you live in the United States here.
I'm an American.
You're American. You're from Russia originally, and you lived in Ukraine, and now you're.
Yeah.
What's your perspective is in terms of if you've had people react negatively to you, like Ukrainian Americans, or what reaction have you had being from these different perspectives?
My belief is that people actually reflect what they think about themselves by reacting to other people. So if someone is furious against someone, that means that he has some problems with himself, he or she. That's why I'm fine with negative reactions. It's their own, it's not mine. No.
I know you performed in various aspects, and I was wondering if you'd like to share your talents with our show today, if you have.
Oh my gosh. They started mowing the grass right here.
I've had the leaf blowers today, so I understand. Mine's in the morning.
So hopefully they don't do it like in the middle of the song, but let me try, okay?
What song will it be?
Ukrainian?
Yeah, Ukrainian, definitely. I love that. We can share that.
Okay, let's try that. Помісна зоря на ясна, світло потоки збирай. Види кохана, я про цей зоре, хоч на хвилочку.
Wow. That was amazing.
I love it. You know what's so interesting, Alon, about this song? Jason, do you know what's so interesting about this song? Because we have Gela Stachowa and we asked her to sing a song and she sang exactly the same song.
It sounded so familiar. I knew that.
I love it.
Best Ukrainian.
It's really one of the best. I completely agree. Thank you so much.
Thank you for doing that. I really appreciate that. Tell me a little about what right now you're doing in terms of your efforts with the Ukraine activism.
Yeah, we did distribute the information on how to call the Congress, what to tell the Congress. I personally translated the whole thing into English language to encourage American people call as well as Ukrainian people. Because anybody who supports Ukraine, I think, needs to call their congressman to encourage vote for Ukraine. And that turned out pretty well. Ukraine got it. And the only thing, our representative, she's Republican, she voted against. I found out that she voted against, regardless of the fact that we called her, we asked, and many times, and she just didn't hear.
I mean, you would think that the United States would be on the side of the democracy fighting the autocratic gang, as you call it, you know, injustice. And instead, we have people in our government that's more interested about themselves than about.
People in the United States government underestimate the danger of Putin regime and what's going on there. They just don't put enough attention into what's going on. And I think they need to understand what's going on.
Sir, yeah, I want to make sure if you had something you want to add.
You understand Ukrainian culture very well. You understand Russian culture very well. And obviously there is a split right now because of the war. Ukrainians are pulling away and it's for obvious reasons. And can you foresee in the future, what would it take for Ukrainians to go along with Russians again?
My vision of the situation is that Ukrainians hating Russians or Russians hating Ukrainians is advantages to Putin and his actions and what he's doing. And I think that separatism was actually promoted and developed and imposed to us, to both of our nations, by those people, I'm sure, because he benefits from that. Ukrainians hate Russians and they fight. And I think as soon as people understand that, this will end. This, how do you say, противостояние?
Resistance. Yeah, I do. I want to say, I agree with you, actually. I gave you some thoughts recently when I thought, you know, because we do have Russian-speaking Ukrainians and Ukrainian-speaking Ukrainians within Ukraine, and it always was like this internal pulling apart Russian-speaking versus Ukrainian-speaking. And, you know, I'm not going to make a big conclusion because I don't know everything about everything, but it almost feels like it would be nice not to have that issue. Because if Ukraine did not have an issue with Russian-speaking Ukrainians, Putin will not have the entryway to Ukraine. But since that's what I'm building on what Ilona is saying, since there was this tension, Putin's smart propaganda machine said, oh, aha, we're going to act on this. And we are going to use this as a pretext for war invasion. And even now, and now it becomes almost like justifiable for Ukrainians to say, no, you speak only Ukrainian. That's how we're going to distinguish you from an enemy. There are 4 millions of Ukrainians became in a very hard position when they actually naturally speak Russian, but they feel like, what do we do now? Because they feel almost like ostracized by Ukrainians themselves. And I believe, I came, fellow, like, no, you don't speak Russian, period. But now I'm coming to realization, no, you actually need to embrace all sorts of manpower and man people's energies together and consolidate them against the invasion, and don't sort out people which language they necessarily speak. But that's not like, but I know I'm a minority in that opinion. So that's why I'm like wondering what is going to take, what kind of evolution of mind needs to happen in Ukrainian and Russian society so that Ukrainians say, okay, now we can talk again.
I got one thing to say to that before you go. If we could get rid of Putin, it'd be a big part of change from my perspective. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Lee.
I agree with Sergei that it should be an evolution. It should be time for people to understand that you can't separate, you can't distinguish people on the basis of their nationality and language they speak and appearance, color, skin color, or whatever. It's 21st century is not for that.
Yeah.
It used to be in 19th century, 18th century, even the beginning of the 20th century, America was pretty racistic. And now people understand that racism and nationalism is not a good way to go.
Absolutely.
It should be actually, people should understand that there are people who are an advantage to the society in any nation. And there are people who are disadvantaged, a big disadvantage, and even to society in any nation as well. We should stop distinguishing by nationality.
I want to ask you this, because we've been talking about this for a while, but the part of doing this show is to try to get our audience to be more in tune with Ukraine and to take a position on this issue and do something decisively to help Ukraine. And I want to ask you, what do you think an average person listening to us right now as we talk, what do you think they could do if they hear this episode and they want to do something about Ukraine? What would you recommend they do?
Are you asking Sergei or myself?
I'll ask both of you. You could start first. It's like a round table kind of talk. Okay. This is a table talking right now. We're just sharing our audience.
My vision on this issue is that people should raise hands and require the governments to look into the international defense system. Anyone in the United States, in Europe, everywhere should raise that issue that we are not protected, that there isn't totalitarian government in Russia that are holding hand on the nuke button and nobody is actually doing anything about that. Yes, we are helping Ukraine. Yes. So they're getting conventional weapons. The danger doesn't go anywhere and the war is not stopping. So something needs to be in place in order to Europe, a European Union voted Putin not being illegal as a president. So that's first step. America did not do anything about that. And it should. He needs to be proclaimed as a criminal. As a war. Yeah. And stop trading with him. His power is based on nukes, army, police, and KGB. All countries need to understand that trading oil with this guy is very dangerous because it supports his power and his ability to continue wars in different parts of the world. He was continuing war in Syria. Why? Why was that? What interest he has in Syria? It's an entirely different region.
Power play. He can show the international community he's got some toys he can kill people with.
Yeah.
And he had Prigozhin and all those other things going on.
I think people, the taxpayers who are aware of the situation, who are conscious about the situation, they need to ask their representatives what's going on and what is being done to so we get protected, so we don't become victims of this whole thing. Thinking Russia wants to be free. All Russian people want to live in a democratic society. Not all. Okay, 50% of them are brainwashed. They are fine with what's going on. But most educated Russian people, they do want to live in a free society, in a democratic kind of country. They want to have the lives, the luxury of the lives we have here or Europeans live. They don't want to go back to the medieval ages where Putin and his regime is taken down to, and now trying to take Ukraine to the same direction.
I want to ask you about your project before we conclude our interview, which is the tribute to Sal Brightman. If you could share it with our audience, because one of the things I love to do is be able to share your information with anyone interested in wanting to know more about what you do.
Yes, I was actually looking for a show to be interesting for both Ukrainian audience and Russian audience and international audience, American audience, anyone. Within my genre, I do classical crossover. And that's a mix of classical music with pop tunes, with rock tunes, with folk music. And that's what I like to do. I like mixing. I decided to do this show because the best singer in this genre is Sarah Brightman. She is the best-selling singer of the world. I decided to do a cover project for her because I like the music she selects. The selection of music that she does is something that I adore. We actually had a big show in St. Petersburg Palladium Theater. That was the launch of the project late February. Yes, we had a great show. We had multiple dancers. So we had a children's choir because some of the pieces that Andrew Lloyd Webber, Sarah Brightman's husband, wrote for her was Piezo, and that's the most powerful requiem, the modern requiem. He was a great performer of that, and we invited the children's choir to help out with that piece. It sounded amazing. I think kids were fantastic. It was Lumina Youth Choir of Tampa. Wow. Yeah, it's a big group. And we had a live band. We had a video footage on the back of the stage. It was a very beautiful show.
I love that. How would our audience contact you if they're interested? I have your show notes. I could put your email address in the show notes. I didn't know if there's anything else you wanted to include with that.
I'll probably ask you to include my Facebook page.
Okay.
So people can subscribe and actually visit my Facebook or visit.
I'll put in the show notes. So can you share your Facebook page?
Definitely. With pleasure. Thank you very much for doing that.
I appreciate it. And then I have your email. It's a Gmail address. So I'll have that in the notes as well. I don't see this conversation ending anytime soon. I think it's the dialogue we need to have.
It needs to be actually finalized by the governments, by the international institution, that think tank, who would actually find a way to stop this. We need to find a way to stop this. United Nations was supposed to stop this in 21st century, but they're not being helpful.
Sergi, what about you? Do you have anything to conclude with before we conclude the episode?
That was a lot of very bold statements, Ilona. Thank you so much. I would conclude that, yes, you know, we do want to say that we expect more bold moves on the side of our politicians. But as we all conclude, our politicians are very careful and our political organizations are not very functional. So still a lot of power, a lot of initiative in people's hands. And I want to bow deeply to people of Ukraine because they are the only one who's doing the most important job on the whole planet right now. And they are defending the democracy. Guys, you're losing your lives, you're losing your loved one, and your cities and villages are destroyed, but you are doing the most important things. And it's because of you that Russia is not spreading its tentacles all over the world. Thank you so much. And I just applaud into and I amazed with the bravery of Ukrainian people, because once again, it's because of you, the politicians of the world are following you. You are leading them. You're showing them this war is going to last. We are going to fight. And if you're not going to give us support, it's just going to be so people like, okay, we're going to give it. And I want the politicians of the world wake up and give them the whole power, the whole support necessary. Because like Ilona said, we not just need to win this war, we need to change the gangbang regime in Russia. And because that regime poisons the world, think about all the human lives that either gone or not living to their full potential. I want you to really pay attention to this Jason series of 100 adults about Ukraine, because what you're going to notice, every single person is so talented. Look at Ilona, and she has a tremendous talent as a singer. You know how many Ilonas in Russia will never have a choice because of the regime they are living in? You know how much we lost as a humanity because one dude dominates and we don't know how to get rid of him. So let's, guys, come on, consolidate your efforts and let's make your politician do things right. Love you all.
Thank you so much for coming on, Ilona and Sergi. Appreciate you both.
Thank you very much for having us.
I just want to thank Ilona for coming on the show today and Sergi for sharing their viewpoints on this very important topic. That's why we're doing a series right now, Stand With Ukraine, 100 episodes, one story at a time. I think it's an important thing for us to do. And I'm gaining so much insight from having our guests come on the show and talk about this topic. There's only so much you can get from your media or your internet searches, or you try to watch TV in the United States or any place you go. And the reality is what's on the ground, what's going on, we have to hear firsthand from the people involved, people impacted, Ukrainians, Russians, American. I think it's important that we look at this not as an isolated vacuum. And I think that's one of the things that I really resonated with me when Ilona was talking today and our conversation was that none of this is in a vacuum. You have countries like Moldova, you've got places, Georgia, Belarus, all these different areas that are could very easily become the next powder keg. And we've got to take steps to support Ukraine. This is the most important time more than ever. I'm glad that the Congress finally approved the aid to Ukraine, Taiwan, and Israel. But from my vantage point, Ukraine is the most important thing we need to do. You guys are at the forefront of the war between the West and the East, democracy versus autocracy. And it's time we take stock of that and appreciate the contributions that Ukraine is really making to the international order right now to change these circumstances. I encourage every single one of you to reach out to our guest and to reach out to Sergi anytime. I will have their information in show notes. Check this stuff out, guys. Keep an open mind, keep an open heart, and don't allow yourself to be persuaded by misstatements of truth or outright propaganda. We're more important than that. And this, we've got to be on the right side of history with this. And it starts one person at a time. So thank you so much for tuning in this episode. I'll have the show notes and everything featuring Ilona and Sergi on the show. And if any of you have questions, reach out to us. Thank you so much. Stay positive, because when you're positive, anything is possible.
Thank you. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Social Psychic Radio Show. Don't forget to join us for another episode next time. If you enjoyed the show, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give us a review on iTunes. You can also check us out on Facebook, and don't forget to visit the Social Psychic YouTube channel. Until next time, it's a big world out there. Keep an open mind, embrace your paradigms, and know that the universe is always yours to explore.
Have you ever wondered what actually happens in Congress every day? Stay informed on Capitol Hill's daily happenings with a concise, factual summary of the Senate and House of Representatives' activities from the previous session, free from bias, on the Congressional Record Daily Digest podcast. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and discover the process from the heart of U.S. politics. The Congressional Record Daily Digest, an Electricast production.
Welcome to Transforming 45, the podcast that celebrates the incredible power of passionate voices. I'm your host, Lisa Boat. Join me in conversation with heart-led humans who share their deeply personal stories of transformation. Transforming 45 is here to uplift, connect, and remind you that it's never too late to write your next chapter. So get ready to be inspired, empowered, and transformed. Join me in this community where through powerful storytelling, we heal and reclaim our inherent magic.
Electricast. Electricast.